This is the Chris Abraham Show.
Hey there, this is Chris Abraham, Season 5, Episode 29, 29, 29. I'm walking and talking because I was afraid that I'd forget this thought in my head. My best buddy Mark fancies this a real simplistic, overly simplistic, if not stupid, and asinine belief, separating the liberal left from the conservative right. And that is as follows. After I get this out, I'm going to stop it, I guess, or pause it until I get to a more comfortable place, because I really want to talk about God and stuff today. But the theory here is that the left demands, or Democrats demand, the freedom from things, and the right demands the freedom for things. So, you know, freedom to the right includes unfettered access to speech, unfettered access to guns, unfettered access to, I don't know, their Ford F-150s, unfettered access to their religion, unfettered access to their beliefs, unfettered access to their entertainment, unfettered access to their faith. Whereas in my simplistic view of the world, Democrats want freedom, but they want freedom from guns. They want freedom from patriarchy. They want freedom from oppression. They want freedom from religion. They want freedom from things. So it is extremely simplistic. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So I will talk to you in a few again. Here's part two of season 5, episode 29, That Nuff, 29, of the Chris Abraham Show. My name's Chris Abraham. Back to that previous thought, the freedom from and the freedom to. If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense to me. Like, their freedoms of freedom too has to do with what the right and what conservatives say are inalienable God rights given naturally to man by God that shall not be infringed. Right? So I guess if we say that everybody wants freedom from, I guess we can say that everybody wants freedom from infringement, and everybody defines infringement in different ways, I guess. But it seems to me that the left wants freedom from internalized racism, they want freedom from Christo-fascism, they want freedom from white supremacy, they want freedom from transphobia, they want freedom from debt, they want, anyway, and And so that's my simplistic way of looking at the world. Now on to God. I believe in God. I have no evidence or any personal experience that God exists, except for a very heavy-handed lifelong experience of divine intervention in my measly life. For example, when I was a little kid, my dad told me that I had to be a good boy or I would get caught. Or I think he said it in more general speaking. He said, if you do anything wrong, you'll get caught. And when he said that, I thought he meant kind of more of a generic, if one does wrong, one will be held accountable to the law. And what he meant is just me, because the universe has given me a very short lead, as he put it. He said, no, you, when you do anything wrong, you are always caught. So, I guess I believe that the world is definitely choose your own adventure. And as a result, I think that people need to understand that those people who say they believe in God, be it actual Orthodox Jews, Orthodox Christians, Evangelical Christians, Orthodox Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Irish Catholic, Polish Catholic, Muslim, Islamic, anybody who actually believes in a relationship with Allah, or relationship with God, or relationship with G-D, they're not joking. Like, they're not doing it as a way of, they're not being theatrical, right? These beliefs run very deeply. The observant Muslim fellow at my library is awesome. He's the sweetest guy. But he is so observant that he has two scars on his forehead. He prays to Mecca 5 times a day, every day of his life, whether or not anybody notices. His commitment is to a higher power. His commitment is to Allah. His commitment is in the name of Muhammad, peace be upon him, right? When I'm a good man, I always have Mary and Jesus in the back of my head. I also have my head filled with all of my mom's saints. So I am constantly living in a world where I'm being reviewed by a God who, you know, why would God want to participate in everybody's life? How could a God who's so great care about the frivolous behaviors of his little people? I even, after my ride from Charleston back to D.C., as I was suffering from heart failure and my edema was blowing me into the size of a blood-filled tick, and I had the physical strength of a child, and I couldn't even pull my motorcycle up onto its center stand, and I would have rather died than taken off the 2 hard bags to bring up to my room in order to take a shower and change my clothes. And yet I still came here in a driving rain in 30 and 40 degree weather with an open jacket on a 700 pound purple 1995 BMW K1100 LT touring bike. and got here in one piece, parked the bike, went up into my apartment and collapsed, and lived to this day. After that, I really believe there was this advertisement of the BMW X5 when it was introduced as or maybe it was the X3. It's their SUV. 15 years ago, 20 years ago when it was introduced. And they show an entire family in an X5 driving through a driving rain in the winter on the Autobahn at night. Oh, did I mention it was at night too? On 95 and then 395 at 85 miles per hour during a driving storm in the wintertime, approaching Arlington. Okay. Well, the same scenario was being experienced by the X5 driver. I think I saw this in 2008 when I was in Germany. Anyway, the advertisement is a cherubic angel with his cherubic wings as a cherubic fat-cheeked, chubby infant flying, four of them flying at each wheel of this all-wheel drive BMW X5. And that's how I felt. I felt like, honestly, this proves that we live in a simulation, and that simulation is overwatched as religiously as a game of The Sims. Every move is... In fact, I had an idea for a video game that you guys can steal, which is called Higher Power, or called High Power, or whatever. You join the game, and you are whatever you want to be. You can be Ganesh, you can be Jesus, you can be Muhammad, peace be upon him. You could be G-D. You could be St. Michael, St. Anthony, St. James. You can be Buddha. You can be whomever you want to be. You could be an angel. You can be a cherub. You can be a guardian angel. I would choose guardian angel. And what you do is you basically micromanage the life of your human, so as to both protect him from the foibles of the world without becoming painfully obvious to him or her or they. So you need to make everything look like coincidence, because a major tenet of belief is faith. You have to believe. It's if it became as obvious as your literal spycraft handler, your Bluebeard version, is that right? What was the name of the book, the Kurt Vonnegut book, where there's the guy who was actually a spy all along, and his job was to secret messages, but also pretend to be a duplicitous American who is saying anti-American, pro-German things, but secretly was actually saving the entire war by sharing. And he had what he called his fairy blue godmother. And his fairy blue godmother was, in fact, a guy who was the only guy who knew that he was, in fact, a ally, a deep OSS officer during World War II. So that's what, you cannot even be that obvious. You need to be able to intercept. You need to improve the survivability, and you need to give God, the name of the game should be Godwink or Godwinks, or that might be trademarked by the Godwink guy, but something like that, right? Like, you need to inspire enough belief to reaffirm the fact that God is an engaging force in your life, but without going ahead and being like the theme of a movie where all of a sudden you can see your fairy godmother, or all of a sudden you can see your guardian angel, or all of a sudden you can see a saint, or you can see Jesus, or you can see Ganesh, or whomever. So, and then you have a certain amount of points, I guess, and you can spend them in certain ways. Like, if you collect a lot of points by doing a lot of, doing very successful work, your job is also, let's go into the next phase of this conversation. Based on who you choose to be your holy divine power, whether it's a garden variety guardian angel, or whether you decide to have literal Shiva be your personal caretaker, you have various other myths that are included in your narrative, right? So let's say I chose a guardian angel in a C.S. Lewis designed Christian myth. You would constantly have to do your best, because this is a very whispery angel, right? God whispers, and the devil whispers in this scenario. But you have a world where C.S. Lewis is extremely committed to the idea that there is a demonic world, and that there is a devil that counteracts. There's a fallen angel in the form of Lucifer, God's most favored angel, who suffered from vanity, jealousy, and pride, was cast away into hell, but has dominion over the earth in fight for human souls. So in that narrative, there's active like engagement with the equivalent of the demons that you see in C.S. Lewis's books, such as Wormwood and his uncle Screwtape, right? So, and I love that idea. But if you are living in a simulation, you just have a coder who's doing that. Like, it's literally a game of The Sims. Or if you believe in the universe influencing you, you will play the part of the universe, and you will have the limitations of what people who believe that the universe has influence over us will have over the character. Each choice will also, it'll be a little bit like D&D, whether you are neutral, chaotic good, lawful good, lawful evil, neutral, chaotic good, lawful neutral. I don't know if that exists, but you know what I mean. And then you have it from there, right? So back into this whole idea of the good, you know, the concept of just believing that, you know, maybe rectors, maybe there are priests and rectors, and maybe there are entire Catholicisms that are in fact Luciferian. I mean, I know that evangelicals believe that Roman Catholicism is basically Roman paganism with Christian lipstick. So they call, the Vatican and Mother Mary, they call the Vatican the Whore of Babylon. And so there's a lot of beliefs that the entire belief system, and my mom sounds like that. My mom believed in all the saints, and she and I loved Mary. I love Mary. I basically think Mary is Madame Pele, right? I'm completely an animist, but I'm a believer animist, and I feel like I've told people, based on what I feel comfort in is where I pray. So I feel comfort in smells and bells. I feel comfort in the Lord's Prayer and Hail Mary. I feel comfort in the Book of Common Prayer and men and women with collars. And I feel comfortable with incense, and I feel comfortable with the body and blood of Christ. And I feel comfortable in those things. I don't feel comfortable in the world of Islam, and I don't feel comfortable in the world of Hinduism, nor do I feel comfortable in the world of Buddhism. There might be some others, like I'm really attracted to Greek Orthodox. And I believe I might be extremely attracted to Ethiopian Orthodox and Ukrainian Orthodox and Russian Orthodox as well. So those are very interesting to me. But in the definition of reality defined by the Chris, let's say C.S. Lewis concept of the world, there are only angels and demons. There are only gods and devils. Everything manifested in the world is a holy war, a spiritual war, a war between fallen angels against angels in heaven, essentially Saint Michael the warrior against Lucifer the fallen angel and his brother, and everything is defined as such. So the entire LGBTQIA world is populated by people who are being affected by demons and by the whisper of evil, and everybody who is involved in things such as communism or Marxism or anybody who ever says the word Christo fascist or anybody who is anti-Catholic, anti-Christian, every single atheist, most agnostics, even people, even Muslim brothers and Jewish brothers and sisters, and Muslim brothers and sisters are considered defilements of the word, miscarriages of the word, distractions of the word. And to most of them, Catholics, if not Episcopalians for sure, and definitely Protestantism, was a corruption of the code. It was a corruption of the message. It turned effectively into the most famous meme right now, which is Jesus the Christ of Nazareth was in fact a trans woman activist, a queer activist. And that his relationship with his 12 disciples was non-binary and most definitely queer. And that's probably why the Pharisees, the Jews, and the Romans killed him. And so that's an excellent... That we're going to have to add that to the narrative in the God Wink video game as well. So I want you to know that these people... and maybe even me sometimes when I'm feeling especially Christian, these people believe that all aliens are in fact modern manifestations of demonic showing of themselves. These are lies perpetrated by either man or devil or demon in the past. You know, 1,500 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, demons and angels showed themselves to believers and unbelievers in the form of burning bushes and literal devils and things like demonic possession and all these other things. But now, they thoroughly believe, kind of like Tom Cruise does, oh, we have to add Mormons, and we have to add Scientologists, and we have to add every, I'm not saying those two are cults, but we have to add Christian Scientists, we have to add Freemasons, we have to add Rosicrucians, we have to add Illuminati, we have to add the Boule, we have to add everybody in terms of the higher power participating in this and the entire world as a result. And maybe we can even add identopolitics things. So you are a world where you try to prevent a homeless black trans woman from being... Ooh, you can even play it as a Karen trying to save the neighborhood, or an Antifa trying to save the neighborhood, or an activist trying to... You can go in as a... You can go in as a Fed trying to foment riots at the Capitol building, or you can go in as a vanguard of the proletariat, fomenter of riots, either in Paris or Marseille, or you can do it in 2014, Kiev, or you can do it, you know, however and wherever you want to do it. That was great if I can bring identity politics into the God Wing too. You can even play as a Soros, like George Soros. You can play as the ghost of John McCain. That would be awesome. You can win the 2016 election for Trump as Putin, as Vladimir Putin in God Winks. This is the best thing ever. But then you have to go ahead and it'll be extensible, so you can create your own modules and create your own narrative, like where everything is the CIA, or everything is China, or everything is Russia, or everything is like the Jews, or everything's Mossad, or everything is oligarchical billionaires, or everything is Christo-fascist, or everything is white supremacy, and you have to battle that. Oh, the game is going to be so good. And I feel like, because maybe I'm more conservative these days, I think you have a freedom to create the most worst extensible environment as you can for effect. And it really needs to be on, like, real reality, unreality, Reality Engine 5 or whatever it's called. It needs to be super duper hyper real. It doesn't need to be kind of like funny iconic like Sims. Maybe it should be, you know. Maybe you can even go ahead and nudge someone into jail where you can be like what is the black Muslim group? I love them. You can like nudge them into jail, and then you can influence them to convert to Islam in jail or in prison. Or you can, you know, make the only thing that, or you can make them, you can have the 12-step version where, you know, it starts out where someone bottoms out and then they end up in a cheap motel and all they have there is a Gideon's Bible and that's all they have, and they're so sick from like, from the delirium tremens or from a recovery sickness from opiates and so forth, that they just start they're cold and shivering and sick on the bathroom floor, and all they do is like open up the Bible and read, and like you knock them with the best random page in the Bible ever. So based on this, like maybe the rectors, maybe the priests, maybe the head of the Scientology church, maybe the head of the Mormon church, as a Freemason, while I did choose the Holy Bible as my holy book, because you have to believe in someone in order to become a Mason and a scout, I guess. The belief of the only thing that's ever mentioned in the lodge is the grand architect of the universe. So as far as the Freemasons believe, it seems like God is the grand architect, which is to say he's the watchmaker, the blind watchmaker of the universe. I don't really see a lot of interaction. I believe that the daily bread of belief has to do with the faith that you bring to the lodge in the first place. It's not a church, right? So for the people who want to play as the invisible watchmaker, all you do is get to sit and watch the guy behave in his world, and you don't have any interaction at all. Or if you play as an atheist, you don't. All you do is get to watch. You don't get to do anything. We're lucky to let you watch. I guess you can play as an ancestor. I think you can play as a dead parent. I think you can play as a spooky ghost. I think you can play as a deceased uncle or a deceased grandma or grandpa or great-grandpa. Shintoism is all about that. So I guess Shintoism, it's all about your dead ancestors. I think that in Hinduism, I know that my extremely... I know that my buddy's wife had a... And she was a trained yogini, a yoga instructor. So she had a guru, and she had an altar to that guru. And I believe the guru, like, for example, I guess you could play as Sai Baba. You can play as Sai Baba. Or you could play, if you're part of the cult that worships Derek, you can play as an ascended master. You can be a dragon, or you could be a wizard, or you could be the Christ or the Buddha, or you could even be Muhammad, peace be upon him. Although, because you play as him, as an invisible eye in the sky, and I need to be careful. I need to talk to my lawyers as to whether or not we can ever play as anybody in the Muslim world. Because that might result in blowback. So tell me if that's a bad idea, because I want to respect all faiths and all people. But back to the real world, everybody, all people of deep faith, evangelicals, literal Bible readers, C.S. Lewis, even a lot of Protestants and Baptists and so forth, believe very strongly that all engagements with fairy folk, all engagement with ghosts, all engagement with extraterrestrials and with orbs and with UFOs and all those other things are most definitely experiences with demons who are desperately trying to fool you into believing that we just don't live in a flat earth with a firmament above us, and we are just not God's loving laboratory, God's loving laboratory. They believe that all telescopes are views into a false reality, that every single example of dinosaurs or evolution is another demonic lie. And these are really deep truths. They're not an elaborate hoax so as to fool you into not believing your agnosticism or not believing your God is dead or religion is the opiate of the masses and all these other things. So it might be a hustle. Everybody who might own the churches and run the churches and make the money and have the, you know, super churches might not believe what they're talking about. They might worship at the altar of the golden fatted calf, but FFS, the people who worship there, definitely believe in it. You'd be surprised the people who legitimately have deep faith, and you'll also be surprised, though I've never had this experience, even though I get God winks every single day, you will be surprised by how my friend Jenna told me that she very literally had back and forth conversations with God, if not Jesus, I don't remember. She's Mormon, but she told me that it's not just a one-way conversation for her. It is a two-way conversation where she engages on a real level, on a real intimate, beautiful level. I mean, I envied her faith. I envied her belief. I wish I had portal into not just shy, winky, make sure that I live and don't suffer too much goals that a divine, ubiquitous, a notorious G.O.D. Has in store to me, but a real kind of active engagement with ancestors, with mom and dad, with the saints, with Mary, with Jesus, with God. with, you know, but to this day, I still, whenever I see a woman at the side of the road begging, I always assume that it's Madame Pelle coming to check up on me and making sure that I still have a generous heart. So, anyway, if you wondering what your Christian, even to be honest, I believe that a lot more people who call themselves cultural Jewish people, I believe that they're a lot more deeply into belief than they admit, because the it can't be 100% just acting out, where there's this constant belief that people are only putting a mezuzah onto their door or only observing All Holy Nights on their calendar year and so forth as merely a cultural expression of the tribe. Like, there are unintentional, and here I go in the trippy hippie world, if you act out the words and faith of your belief, even if you don't believe, if you pray half-hearted but decidedly, and if you repeat over and over and over again, for example, Our Father, if you pray that over and over again, if you go to church and you just fake it till you make it, the energetic intention of spelling your magic out into the world is, you know, you might be a useful idiot, but you are a useful idiot who's putting positive energy into the world towards the manifestation of that godly energy. So if you, you know, if you have crosses in your house, if you if you wear a rosary, if you own icons, if you are constantly remembering that you are, if you introduce yourself as a failed Catholic or a cultural Christian, or if you, you know, sell yourself as a failed you know, Catholic, or if you sell yourself as a cradle Episcopalian or whatever, and you still explore those rites and so on and so forth. Like, I don't know if I told you, but the head of the vestry of my Episcopal church and I had a delicious affair together, and she and I were basking together over coffee in the morning on a Sunday, on a Saturday morning, or maybe, no, it was a Sunday morning before church. And she revealed to me that she didn't believe in God anymore. And I'm like, did you tell Father Downing? She's like, yeah, what did Father Downing say? Father Downing said, that's okay, I don't believe in God sometimes. So, like, I believe that there's a lot of people in the world. Like, one of our most famous Christian icons is the Doubting Thomas. Like, in rabbinical theory, I believe that there are still plenty of rabbis who have lost their faith and still do the good work, read the good word, and share, even with a false faith, they share the word and become useful idiots for the word of God. So it all works out. Like, I really believe that, you know, even these mega Christians, these mega churches, they, no matter how much money they steal, no matter how much grip they have, no matter how many Lear jets they have or whatever, they've motivated someone to get off their butt in the morning and go and pray to a higher power, God. If their life is meant to transition into a better situation, if they start making decisions based on whether or not that is good and holy for them, whether it's virtuous, whether it's moral, whether it's fair to other people, even if you can get away with it, whether it is good for the beauty and sweetness of your soul. One of my favorite plays, and the reason why I became a literature major, is called Boys in the Band, and it's a play about a bunch of gay boys who hang out for dinner together over the birthday of one of the major, the oldest queen of the bunch. And he, you know, is described as being ugly and he's self-loathing, and he's got pockmarked face, and they end up bringing him a really beautiful, like a prostitute. They bring a young, blonde, beautiful, cowboy-looking, like, six-pack, rock-hard abs, like, not even a twink, like, more like just a pretty, like, stud, and they bring him to him, and he's sort of in the play, he's sort of considering the beauty and the shallowness and the stupidity of this beautiful boy who is going to be his lover that night. Dumb as a stone. Not even so dumb that he doesn't even know how dumb he is, right? And the character says in sort of a monologue, he's like, I would give up. He said, I think I recall correctly, he's like, my rabbi tells me that I have the most beautiful soul. My rabbi tells me I have the most beautiful, beautiful soul. But I would give up my beautiful soul for just a little bit of his physical beauty. I would give up all my beautiful soul for a little bit of his beauty. And I feel like that is the definition of Insta culture, right? Instagram culture. That is the definition of plastic surgery culture and filter culture and, you know, BBL culture and nose and OnlyFans and Patreon and PornTube and Instagram and TikTok and so forth. It's become a world where you're more than happy to give up your beautiful soul for just a little bit of dad ass. So on that note, I'm done. Just remember that people all around you, if they think you are a degenerate freak, they literally think that you are infested by demons. On that note, I love you and I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to The Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.